The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
This morning, I don't have anything on my mind to talk about. So, do you have anything on your mind that you'd like me to talk about? Anything you'd like, any questions or topics? Yes, Raghu, right?
Yes.
So we can use the mic, please.
Let me see if I can frame it properly, what I have in mind. Or I can give someone else an opportunity. So I'm curious if my spiritual practice can inform me on my life purpose. And I'm asking because I am doing my practice of mindfulness and meditation. But I'm also working on my, vision of my life. Contemplating on death has helped me a little bit. But it's still, it's tough to guess what I will be just before I die. So I know it's, maybe I can just ask you, like, I know you you came back from the spiritual training and then you enrolled into grad school. So I'm curious, what was your mindset at that time? What were you thinking about your life purpose then and now? And maybe I can learn from that.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. So sometimes it's a great question, great concern. Sometimes it's really helpful to put the concern of purpose of one's life aside for a while, especially if someone is relatively new to doing a meditation practice or Buddhist practice, because sometimes you spend too much time thinking about it or concerned about it, it interferes with opening up into a new way of being, a new way of thinking or perceiving. And so sometimes it's better just to put aside the question and let yourself deepen, mature in the practice, and at some point you'll have new eyes. And then you'll see the world in a new way, you see yourself in a new way, and then it might be just a lot easier to answer that question, or you might see answers to that question that you could never would have imagined in your current state of mind. So you asked me about myself. That certainly happened to me. I wasn't able to successfully put aside my questions about the purpose of my life. But in retrospect, I know that the answer did not come from thinking about it. I wasted a lot of time. I don't know if I wasted, but I spent a lot. It didn't come from thinking about it. It came from doing the practice and being engaged in the practice, settling in the practice, quieting in the practice, opening up in the practice, all the different ways to mature in the practice. And at some point, the answer to my purpose emerged from within. And in a sense, in this metaphor of emerging from within, the contrast was, from the outside is my mind thinking about it, trying to figure it out. So it's like it arose from the heart, from the torso, as opposed to kind of in the head. And what happened for me was it became very clear that what I wanted to do with my life, or it wasn't even what I wanted to do, because it's so at some point this emerging was so integrated into being who I am that it was more like I could say I wanted, but who I am was someone who responds to suffering. And so, I wanted to then live a life of responding to suffering, or what I was going to do was to live a life responding to suffering in the world. And so the vehicle for me to do that was Buddhist practice and Buddhist teachings. And so so in order to do that well, I spent 10 years doing intensive practice, monasteries and retreat centers, and I didn't actually study Buddhism much. And so as I was going to be a Buddhist teacher or a Buddhist monk and respond to suffering through Buddhism, I felt I needed to learn something about Buddhism. And so I went first to get a master's in Buddhist studies. And then from there, I kind of just slid into a doctoral program. Just kind of continued. I didn't have anything else to do. Kind of. But the motivation always was, how can this support me, or how will this support the response to suffering and helping suffering in the world? Great, thank you. Someone else?
So from the beginning of your life, can you talk about the end of life? How do you deal with the fact that you are close to death?
Well, that's an interesting choice of words. Deal with being close to the end of life. What do you think that dealing is about for you? What does that mean for you? And why that choice of that word? What's behind it for you?
Because it is difficult. When you say you deal with something, that means...
Sorry?
When you use the word deal, that usually involves there's a difficulty.
Yeah.
And I think, rationally, we all know, old age, sickness, and death. But instinctively, we have an immense will to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to somehow come to a point where you can face it with serenity. And how do you do that?
I don't know the answer for you exactly. But I have a question for you, and hopefully it's to the point. And that is, why do you think you have to take responsibility for this process?
It never occurred to me not to.
What do you think it would be like if you gave up most responsibility?
Could you explain that a little more?
Maybe death, dying, is not something you have to deal with. And then you said that for you, dealing with had to do with the strong will to live, which is, kind of inherent in our biology, I suppose, some of it. And so that's what's, you have that will now. That's fine. The whole biological system will take care of itself. You'll die. I remember a man many years ago who was anticipating dying. He had cancer. And so he went out and read all these books about death and dying so he wouldn't fail at dying. It'll take care of itself, and the will to live will some point abate, some point not be there. Sometimes the fear that fuels it or the greed that fuels it will abate, and especially if you can recognize and see to the degree to which fear might be part of the energy for the will to live, or a certain kind of greed or desires the fuel for it. As you see it more and more clearly. And sometimes it's seen more clearly as people get really close to death, or as we get really close to death, there's not an energy anymore to pour into that will to live. Maybe it'll just take care of itself. Maybe you don't take so much responsibility.
Thank you.
Sometimes if you don't take so much responsibility and let nature take its course, death can be quite a nice event, a nice thing. And I know that because some of you know that because maybe you've been around people who are dying. And when they kind of let nature take its course in a very peaceful way, sometimes it's quite spectacular to be around them. And people sometimes will go to be with them just because there's so much serenity or acceptance or peace. Sometimes. And so it might be interesting for you to just relax around this dying thing. It'll take its course. Is that okay?
Yeah, good. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. And Trudy's even older than you, so let's hear what she has to say.
Are you sure about that?
No.
Well, the idea of dying certainly is something that comes up for me. And yesterday I was talking with a good friend whose son just died of cancer, and it's her second child that she's lost to cancer. In their 40s, maybe.
Yeah.
And her equanimity about it was just inspiring. Mm. And she said something about where we come here to be born and then we die. And it was, just she's done a lot of grieving, but...
Yeah.
To accept it that way,
yeah.
And I think for me, I've had a lot of attention on living a good life. Sometimes too much attention. And recently, I read some things about good death, and I think that's something that really is. Well, as you said, death can be a beautiful thing, and I think the idea of a good death is not a bad one to keep in mind.
Yeah, I love for the possibility of it. You don't never know how it's going to unfold. It's very important not to hold yourself up against a standard and then think you're failing at dying because you're not doing it the way you think it's supposed to. But... So when I was young, I don't know how old I was, maybe I was in my teens, I wondered what a human life would be about, my human life. What would it be about? And my answer to that question was, I'll know on my deathbed when I look back. And when I was on my deathbed and I look back, I say, oh, that's how a human life can be. As if that was perfect, as if that was just how it is. That's how, the oak tree grows in a certain kind of twisted way, and no one complains about, unless it grows into your house, no one complains about the oak tree's branches being, coming off the wrong side of the, it's just, that's the oak tree. So there was something about at the end of your life, then you'll know. And it's whatever it was a full human life. Well, death is in the air. I don't know if Judy's responsible for that. No? And thank you all very much. So now we're going to do the